The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening in pop culture. I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room.
I really am in shock, but I'll try to be cool that Kristen Stewart is here.
Wow, you started off so chill. I wasn't even sure if we were starting.
Because I'm trying to be as cool as you.
Okay. Do you want me to like do something embarrassing or like have a nip slip or something?
First of all, you might have a nip slip. You might have a nip slip. But I just posted today because that you were coming and I was like, the person that's coming on the podcast is so cool. You don't think?
Well, what am I to do with that?
Okay. That I know you just be you.
Okay.
Me
okay.
Was like, how do I not be a basic bitch? And I was saying to the Instagram yesterday that you're too cool to be on.
How embarrassing for you.
I talked to the camera there. You're not even on it. And I was like, this really cool actress is coming on tomorrow. And I know you haven't been pregnant, but I just feel like I can't even try to be cool right now because I'm pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, a second ago, you said you were fearful of being a basic bitch.
Right. Oh, my God. I'm really, like, opening up to you today.
This is what happens.
Really?
Yeah, it's that soft-spoken. We had to pull the mics up because we were speaking too softly right to one another because we were being vulnerable.
So, yes, because, okay, you give, I'm not a basic bitch. I don't even have basic bitch interests.
I don't. I will say I'm a lot of things and not all of them are the best.
Yeah.
But that's not a pitfall is the
okay.
The BB.
We're
I don't think
out.
For you either. I think that's something that people say. Like I have friends that go like, I know I'm a lot. And I'm like, get that out of your mouth. Mm. That is something that people say. That's such a chauvinist. I think that right. Basic bitch is the meanest.
You're right.
Okay.
Do you like any reality TV that you're not telling us about?
For sure. I think I'm into like, I think I've watched a couple episodes of Sister Wives.
Oh, that's like niche. That's like on like TLC or something.
I don't know what it's on, but it's deeply, deeply engaging.
Okay.
And like, okay, reality shows. Can you name a few?
Like Bravo shows, Housewives.
Unfortunately, none of those really. But I've like fucked with the Kardashians a bit because my best friend is like obsessed. And so then it's just comforting to watch them eat salad and like hang out.
So comforting.
Yeah.
And also, I have a tidbit that might or might not be true, but there were days that you were hanging out with a Kardashian. Is that true? Like hung around.
I've been around a couple of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been around a couple of them. I was just going to say, you're going to ask me my favorite. I was like, I don't have
I know who
favorite.
It is, though. I'm going to decide. I'm going to tell you who's your favorite.
Okay, tell me.
Courtney.
Yeah, she just really makes me laugh.
Yay. Well, she's my favorite, dryness. Too. See? We're such basic bitches.
So basic.
So we love.
What would be the less basic choice?
For Kardashian?
Yeah.
Well, Kim would be like the obvious.
Oh, right. She's not basic. She's not basic.
No. I mean, we need to delve deeper into what basic means.
It doesn't mean anything. This is the problem. This conversation is completely like...
Just chauvinistic and gross.
I mean, you know, there's like normie. I guess normie. That's what I call people who are, I think, are basic bitches. I'm like, ugh, normie freak.
Normie
which is
freak.
Mean.
That's
the meanest thing. It's clearly coming from a place of insecurity where somehow that was like, that's the child speaking in me, you know.
Well, nothing to be insecure about. Kristen Stewart is here, you guys. I still can't believe it. I read about you, which makes sense to me. This adds up to me, that you weren't thinking of being famous. You were thinking of being in the industry, but like more on the back end of it.
I mean, I started when I was so little.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the impulse wasn't like, I want to be super famous. You know, I wanted to be on set. And then I got to be, which is so psychotic that that worked out. But then the famous thing is the least fun conversation to have ever, because people are like, oh, cool. Oh, you don't like it? I'm like, no, right. I love my job.
Right.
I love it so much. But like, you know, there are people like Kim who take up space in the most natural way, where they're just like, that thrust was so easy and like just was what it was supposed to be for that person. And then I was like, wait, I just truly want to make movies, and I'm like bad at talking.
If you could choose, you would be like an actress working, making the money, doing the art, but not having the fame and the tabloids and the stuff like that.
If I could like rewrite the world,
yeah.
I would like reformat things, but I like to share. I like to be out there. I have this like, I guess there's a sort of ironic push and pull between really wanting to feel like exposed and like together with others in a way that is revealing, but
yeah.
then also like not stolen from and not like commodified. This is too serious.
But you want to choose, like you wish you could choose. Like, this is what I want to share. And then when people like pry and really like delve into your life.
It's like a comic book. It's like a, you know what I mean? It's like, I guess it's, I was cast a long time ago in a sort of now outdated, irrelevant comic book called Tabloids. And now like, do those even exist? Like, things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people are choosing now. This is such a basic convo. But I think Instagram has saved us all, because it's just the fervor isn't as...
Right, because we're getting it.
Yeah.
We're getting it all and more. Things that we didn't want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seriously.
We're getting it all. So speaking of Instagram, because back to you being too cool for social media, are you looking from somewhere else that isn't an account that we can find? Or do you not even fuck with it at all?
I have an Instagram account. but I have one like that I use. Like, it's just not public.
And no one could ever know what it is.
I think everyone knows, because I have like... thousands of friend requests, like thousands and thousands.
So not everyone knows, but like people that would really like, you're saying if you did the research, you could find out.
Definitely.
Really?
Many, many, many people know. Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God. I feel like such a bad.
We could follow each other.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I think I follow like 500 people or something. And then I think at this point, I've really accumulated. I really need to do some housekeeping, because over the years, I don't know, every movie, every like random.
So you'll unfollow someone for me, is what you're saying?
I'm not going to unfollow anyone, but I might kick a couple people off of my allowed to see my page thing. What is that called? Followers. Yeah. I might get rid of some followers.
Follower. Damn. Yeah. Because I was going to ask you, I know your fiance has an Instagram where she posts you.
Yeah.
So cute.
I know. It's honestly, because she has like a one that's private too.
No, it's not. Oh. I'm like, I know nothing. So she has one that isn't the one that I'm speaking of that is private.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What a curtain pull for you. Don't you talk to people with private Instagrams? I'm sure. This is just.
So first of all, as you can see, I've built you up in my head to this like superhuman, cool, non-basic bitch.
Right.
Doesn't even look at social media, doesn't have a phone.
Oh, right. I can like barely even talk, and like I just like continuously roll my eyes while walking around.
Okay. Kristen Stewart has an Instagram. That makes me feel good. So you're up to date on like pop culture and things.
I guess so. I mean, I follow a lot of like food Instagrams.
You do? Do you cook?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I love cooking. Yeah.
Like healthy stuff? Or
both.
Like,
yeah a nice balanced, you know,
really
healthy relationship with junk food. And
so what's your favorite meal to cook?
See, this is what you ask people who don't cook, because it's like a novel experience for them to be like, oh yeah, I made a curry. I'm like, we cook most of our meals.
Wow. Farm to table?
No, I'm not growing that shit. I grow some lemons.
Really? No, but by the way, I don't cook. And if you asked me, I wouldn't have an answer, because I don't cook. So I'm like on the lower level than what you said.
Would you remain alive if you were like stuck in an apartment that only had a pantry of basic?
I can make eggs.
Right. People that can't, I'm really afraid for them. Like,
for the can't make the eggs and the sandwiches. No, I could do that. I could do that.
Yeah,
if you know me, you know that anything Vanderpump is just part of my soul. Like my... life started with Vanderpump. A huge part of my career and a huge part of my Instagram started with watching Vanderpump falling in love with it, thinking it's the greatest reality TV show ever, recapping it 7 years after everybody already watched it, calling myself the VPR ambassador. Anyway, I am a sucker for anything Vanderpump, and that's why I'm so excited to announce a new show coming up, Vanderpump Villa. Okay. If you guys haven't heard of Vanderpump Villa, this is a new show by Lisa Vanderpump. We love Lisa. Okay. And it's going to be on Hulu. Lisa Vanderpump, she has a new home. So basically, it's an escape to the French countryside. And there's first-class luxury vibes, world-class drama. Basically, Lisa loves to make shows about her staff. So here in Vanderpump Villa, Lisa's staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. So there's workplace drama. There's Lisa Vanderpump drama. There's French vibes, okay? Bon voyage vibes. So this is going to be so fun, so exciting, so Vanderpump, okay? You guys, watch Vanderpump Villa. It's premiering April 1st, only on Hulu. I can't wait to watch it with all of you. Don't forget, you guys, Vanderpump Villa, premiering April 1st, only on Hulu. You know, the Love is Blind reunion was on a couple weeks ago, and I saw Chelsea and Kwame there, which, by the way, I can't believe they're still together. And I remembered that I made this video where I made Husb like be Kwame, and I was Chelsea, and I was like all over him, sniffing him. And because I just remember that Chelsea was super obsessed with Kwame. Okay, you guys have no idea where I'm going with this. I saw my hair there and I was like, oh my God. Like, I had basically like a bald spot, like where the baby hairs are in the front. Thank you for not calling it out then and making me feel bad about myself. But it's a real thing. Like, you lose hair. Hair thins out from, you know, variety of stressors of postpartum. For me, it was postpartum. And I was so annoying because when I heard that you lose hair postpartum and that can happen, I was like, I'm not worried. I have a thick head of hair. No, like, you can lose it in spots that you don't want to. And like in the front, wasn't the best thing for me. That's when I started taking Nutrafol, and I couldn't believe the before and after. I couldn't believe that that's what it was like when I made that video. I just couldn't believe it. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. And it works. It works. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering my listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code NOTSKINNY. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, that's spelled NutrafoL.com, and the promo code is NOTSKINNY. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code NOTSKINNY.
So when you got into acting at 8, your parents, who are kind of in the industry also, right? Like, they're not actors, but they know the industry. Did they try to like steer you away from it? Were they into you getting into this world?
I think I had to really convince my mom that it was a worthwhile endeavor because she was scared that I was going to encounter a lot of rejection. And like, because I was kind of a weird freak little kid. I just had to use that word against myself in case anyone was like, Jesus, what a mean meanie.
Smart.
Yeah. So I wanted to be an actor so badly because I grew up on set going with my mom. She was a script supervisor who is sort of like the keeper of the Bible of the movie. She's like, times everything. And like, you know, she gives the notes to the editor. So I was like.
And if someone's like, line.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And she said yes. And it's so nice of her because like it was probably like expensive and annoying to like get me headshots and drive me all over Los Angeles, which is so awful.
A little basic too.
Yeah, it's so basic. I did. I auditioned for 2 years, was desperate for it, wanted to be so famous, obviously, at 9 years old.
We found the basicness. No, but that is, does it not add up to you with like who you are that you like wanted that?
I wanted to play. Like, I wanted to hang out. I was the worst, so cringe at any like commercial audition, which you have to do as a kiddo. And I was like, I think I told my agent, I just want to do movie auditions. And they said, no, you've never done a movie.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but these commercials, they're not for me. And they're like, you've never done one of those either. So you're just going to have to do you're going to do all the auditions, you know? Sorry, I just bumped the thing. But yeah. And then at some point I got a movie and got to be an actor, and I can't believe it because that doesn't happen a lot.
So you're technically a child star. Does that offend you?
On paper, I guess we could categorize. Yeah.
Right. You started acting as a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like a wild. I mean, I loved Panic Room. It was so good. Oh. I remember watching it like when I was way younger, too. And you were so good in it.
That's a cool movie. I recently watched it as well for the first time in like 100 years.
I was just looking off the side because I was like, I need to watch it again. Like, I need to watch it now.
Yeah.
So you recently watched it again. And how is it watching yourself like play when you're younger?
I'm old enough now to watch that movie, which is actually a delight because it is a very good film. And it's not me anymore. Like, I'm looking at a completely different.
Mm.
But then at the same time, I'm like, I know that little guy. Yeah, like it reminds you, you know, you see like a authentic picture of yourself or something from when you're little. And you're like, dude, remember when you had zero affectation and you were just a dork? That's nice.
Yeah.
That's like a nice way to
be. But you're not judging her.
No, I'm judging me. No, I'm trying to get back to her.
But you were saying like it's been so long that you can like look at her and maybe
not be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I need to watch. So technically a child star. Do you think you have like some secret or you did something right that other people didn't do or like a tip that how did you like survive the industry in this way?
Oh, man, I've done so many not right things and so much falling down in public and then also like bad outfits and all the things that you're like, I should have been stopped.
Like, no, what do you think back at that like embarrasses you?
Like everything and nothing, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like I have sometimes when I talk to people who are just now having to do interviews, like I just worked with a director who I'm obsessed with and it's her second film and the first one that she did was released during COVID, so she didn't really have to discuss things and then see it all blasted in headlines and on the internet and whatever. And she was like, do you just not read it? Do you just, it's like, no, I mean, I kind of like to know, like, you know, the trickle down effect of the work that I do. So it's not like I'm like not online, but maybe for you, like, you know, temper it or sort of like in moderation.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm so used to it that I could, anything could happen and I would be like, it's fine. Like, I feel like I could function from this beautiful place of freedom now because I'm not trying to control anything because I've just been so stripped of that actually I've sort of circled back to finding this place of volition, like knowing that you can't collect all the feathers, you know, if you like rip open a down comforter in a movie or in an interview, which is kind of the hope is to like expose something or like get honest or get underneath of something. You're not going to be able to control how everyone like consumes that. And we live in such a globalized and connected world. And like, there's just not everyone's going to sort of vibe with you. So yeah, I've been famous for like so long that now it's like,
really,
I'm so like, I just feel so open. You could ask me anything right now. Stop. I like genuinely would tell you.
Yeah. Stop.
Because you can't try to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you hedge yourself in when you try and hedge people out.
And you've learned that because I'm assuming you tried that to like hedge people out.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess that I had a, you know, more.
Yeah. You were more guarded.
Yeah.
Do you think that staying relatively private throughout the years helped you, you know, have this career? And like I said, I know a lot of child stars like have had, you know, struggles and talk about it today as this like really horrible thing. Mm. Do you think that staying a little bit private helped with that?
I guess so. Was I private?
I feel like you are very mysterious.
Oh my God, this is great.
I know. I'm really just like pumping you up.
Yeah.
But it's true. You're very mysterious. Like, yeah.
LOL. I don't feel that way. No,
you feel like you're exposed to the world.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm almost bent over and just smiling. Just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so that's funny. But
it's all relative, I guess, in this world.
Yeah, like I don't have I'm not storing like my oatmeal in the morning.
Yeah.
Shit, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I guess there's a, you know.
There's some mystery.
Yeah.
So after Panic Room, that was like 2002, 2007 already. You're announced to be in Twilight,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, read all the books, and I'm not a huge reader. I know you probably read so much, but
so basic.
I know, I'm telling you. I was obsessed with Twilight to the point where, like, I was like, do I want to drink blood? Like, I was, like, influenced. You know how today you get, like, influenced by people online? I was influenced by this. Mm-hmm. I was like, might be a vampire. Like,
right.
Seriously.
And you wanted maybe to be one, not to like be somebody who you wanted to be Edward.
I wanted to be Well, Bella, I was like Bella in the sense that she also wanted to be one.
Right.
Let's talk about Bella for a second.
Okay.
Do we not like her in retrospect?
Do we not like her?
Right.
Whoa.
Think about it.
Hey,
Kristen.
You better be careful. You don't, I mean, I don't know if you can tell who you're talking to right now.
You? No. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
She was a little like desperate for Edward.
Sounds like you can relate. Yeah. Like
willing to change her life, go through hell to become this vampire. Like I was thinking about it. Like it's a little much.
Yeah, but he was trying to sort of control whether or not she made choices for herself. And that I would have broken up with him immediately.
With Edward.
Yeah. I mean, if I was like, hey, I want to try that. And right. He was like, no, this is just for me. I would be like, well, this is also just for me my whole life without you.
So you're saying Edward was fucked up.
Yeah, like I get the sort of protection thing, but you got to let a girl
make her own choices.
Yeah.
And she did. She ended up getting pregnant, which another relation back to me is that when I am upset during my pregnancy, I think of Bella and her pregnancy.
It was worse than yours.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, that thing, are you like, how am I, is this your first?
No, it's my second.
Okay. So I know you know how it comes out.
I know, but like I always think of Bella's vampire baby, like eating her alive from the inside.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the scary part. I know when people are like, how is this going to come out?
Yeah.
Like, well, not that bad. Not that bad.
You've been through it.
Yeah.
So when you first started with Twilight, did you have any idea in your mind that it would be this like big thing that people are still talking about today? I mean, I think there's like a TikTok going viral now about it, like all this stuff.
Really?
Not a bad one. It's like, hey, Bella, where you been, loca?
Oh, I'm
remember
right
when Jacob says that?
Yeah. What in the world?
That was the line.
There are some
right,
things.
Regina, is it where you been, loca? Yeah.
I wonder
going
if
viral.
That was in the script. What is that? Is that in the book? Maybe it's in the book.
You think loca is in the book? Maybe.
There are some idiosyncratic weird little like spider monkey is in the book. Do you know what I mean? Like that's
so yeah, that's right now.
And then like there was this one that I couldn't deliver at all, which is so embarrassing because I was so embarrassed. Like the most embarrassing thing is to look yourself be embarrassed.
Oh, because you could tell.
Yeah. And there was this thing I think where I was supposed to say to him, to Taylor, like something about his muscles or something, where it was like, hey, something like biceps. That's what it was.
Hey, biceps.
And
like
I still
that?
Can't. Yeah. And I think I was like, hey, bye. Oh, God. And that's in that film forever. It's going
to
be.
Well, you didn't have to say where you been, loca.
Yeah, it's bad.
So that's worse. Yeah. So we already.
I love you're dragging him, though, right now. It's funnier. I would love to watch
I'm
that with
really,
you.
I just saw. I couldn't. I didn't remember that part. I guess you block out the weird. Also, yeah, it depends how you're watching, because I wasn't watching to judge back then, you know?
You were watching to get. Was it like, hopefully a drinking game is the best way to watch those movies.
No, what? I was obsessed. I was watching it to be in it. I loved it. So
the interview just turns around. I'm like, I have a million questions for you and your actual experience. But go on. I'm not going to come in here.
So we agreed you like Bella, even though I did see an interview where you said you're triggered by the name.
Yes, the name is definitely, I can't with that anymore.
Like won't name your future baby Bella for sure.
Probs not. No.
Yeah.
No, you, it's not that it's a prop. It's not like I'm like, oh, can't with that name. It's more just like, it's that one thing. I can't be anything else. If someone's like, hey, I'm Bella. I'm like, what do you mean?
How?
How?
Or is it that you think that technically in the movie, they said it a lot of times?
Yes,
like drinking
said
game.
It constantly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bella, because that's what I was. Right.
Yeah,
both of them. Jacob and Edward. Okay. So I did want to know, because we talked about the being private and mysterious, which you said you weren't. But how do you feel about press tours? I just saw Dakota Johnson said in an interview that it's hard for her to take it like seriously in a way that it's like sometimes it just feels pretty silly. Do you feel that way at all? How do you feel during press tours and stuff?
Yeah, I get that. I think when you're telling stories about like stories, it's like you're doing this weird curriculum on your movie. Like you're teaching everyone how to watch it and how to like receive it. And you're like hoping that you can frame their experience. I'm like, that's what feels funny to me is like, we did this thing, we worked on it for so long and I want to like, you know, represent and go tell everyone about it. But also I don't want to like spoon. It feels silly because you're like, well, what do you want people to take from the movie? I'm like, dude, we made a whole movie. I would like someone to posit their experience into it and then that would be different for everyone. So how could I answer that question?
Yeah.
And yeah, it just, you know, it feels she's on a long haul, man. That's she's like long, such a specific
yeah
experience.
Would you do like a Marvel type movie?
I'm a yes man. I don't say like no to, I can't imagine. I can't, I've just, the path that has sort of been carved by my life, both the ways in which I've controlled that and also the ways that it has just like fallen off the truck. It would be so stupid to ever be like, yes, no.
Because, but do you give more indie vibes? Like, do you, when you're picking a movie, like, do the indie vibes speak to you more than like the big?
I will likely never do a Marvel movie.
But okay, but still never say never.
No,
you know,
that's the thing.
I could see you, when I was thinking about this question, I was like,
oh, it sounds like a fucking nightmare, actually.
I could see you as being like Mary Jane in another world. I don't know if like case two of like right this moment, but yeah. I could have seen, like, I'm surprised you didn't do that in a way.
Well, like, I like big movies because I like people to watch them when I'm in them. You know, the system would have to change. Like, you'd have to put so much money and so much trust into one person. And I think Dakota mentioned that this as well. It doesn't happen.
Right.
And so, therefore, what ends up happening is this, like, algorithmic weird experience where you can't feel personal at all about it. Mm. And so, like, likely not. But maybe the world changes. That's what I'm saying is, like, how could I tell you no if maybe one day...
Like, maybe your favorite director will make the Marvel movie.
Yeah.
By herself.
Exactly. By herself. If Greta Gerwig asked me to do a Marvel movie, then I would do it.
So you were really into the director that you worked with for Love Lies Bleeding.
Yes.
Which I want to talk about, by the way, what a good movie, you guys.
Well, thanks. I'm so glad you saw it.
That's cool. God, of course I saw it. Did I rewind the like hot sex scenes? Might have. No.
That's not basic.
See?
See?
Such a good movie. And I was thinking about the title after watching it, that it's so literal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. People have been like, hey, describe this movie in three words. And I'm like, are you crazy?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Did you know that it's a plant, that it's a flower?
Love Lies Bleeding?
A Love Lies Bleeding is this sort of like trickling, crimsony, deep, flowery situation. They're beautiful. And I know I only learned this recently and I was like, Rose, I thought you were a genius. I thought you made this up. But I guess it is genius to appropriate the title. You know, there's like 1,000 double entendres and also very straightforward.
Did they put the plant in the movie?
No. I know. I'm too literal for that. I'm like,
Is it about the plant? Okay, let's start with the basic stuff. Your premiere outfit was cray cray.
The frontal floss?
What did people equate it to? It wasn't frontal floss. I saw something else. But now I can't remember.
I coined that.
What was that like wearing that?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You looked hot.
Thanks, dude. I wanted to wear... First of all, I was like going to wear something else. It was like kind of like cosplaying the movie. It was like a little more like athletic wear. And
which is a thing now.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. And then my stylist, who I've worked with since I was like a baby, showed me this thing. And she was like, I'm just being crazy. I don't know. But then that always ends up being the thing that we're like, oh, yeah, imagine. And we're like, well, yeah, it happened.
Yeah. And then it happened.
Yeah.
Were there underwear involved?
Yeah. And I had to safety pin them together in the front. To create this sort of upper, it was really not hot underneath.
Like what you had to do.
Yeah.
What you had to do.
Yeah. It didn't look good until I put the over flap on.
It was insane. When you make that kind of stylistic choice, do you know like this is going to like blow up? Because it was like everywhere, like your outfit.
I feel like everyone is wearing stuff like that right now, though. So I didn't.
Oh.
For this one, I was like, yes, people are... I was like, is this crazy? I was like, no, everyone is wearing much less than this actually right now. So this is fine.
But you're saying you were thinking of like dressing like Lou?
Well, I was just going to wear kind of...
That would be very different.
Well, not exactly. Like I was going to wear like something that I'm going to wear this week probably. Oh. So I don't want to like blow my load. But yeah, like it looked more like they were athletic shorts.
Oh, you know? Wow.
But, like fancy ones. Very fancy. They were Chanel.
Another literal question about the movie.
Okay.
And about you in the movie, because I'm nitty gritty like that, is that obviously you play Lou in the movie. You meet this woman who's training to be in a bodybuilding competition. Mm. So she's obviously ripped. But then I was like, I wonder if Kristen like works out. And then I noticed She got a bicep.
I was doing like secret little piddly push-ups in my trailer because I was so jealous of everyone. I was like, okay, so I'm supposed to be this like barely capable kind of like smoking to death, smoking flaccid to death. Character. Yeah. And then I was like, I can't have that. I have to be a little secret.
And you're saying from doing that in your trailer, you got some biceps?
That's right.
Stop.
You know, if you believe it, you can be it.
Do you secretly like really work out?
Yeah, I like working out, but I like doing like secret push-ups.
Like
you, know,
you want the arms. Like are you doing Pilates? Like what's your workout?
I've never done Pilates. I really love yoga, but I kickbox primarily with my trainer, who is like the only man that could tell me to like drop and give him 20 and not have a problem. Like I love him, so I like working out with him. Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you guys, if you look closely in this movie, there's some muscles.
That's right.
She ain't flaccid.
Thanks for mentioning it.
Just saying. Also, just speaking saying. Of the cigs, are you a smoker in real life?
I really, really, really try not to be. And I did, that's the moral of the story is never, ever start smoking because it is hard to quit. And I had to smoke so much in this movie. It was like the
worst. Were they real cigs?
By far the hardest part of making the movie. Yeah, the fake ones. I mean, this is, you know, we're really just showing how the sausage is made in every way.
No, because I've heard of the fake, the herbal ones.
They don't smoke right. They just don't look right. They don't. And it's, you know, this is so stupid. I shouldn't have done it. I mean, like.
So you smoked 3,000 a day.
Yeah. Like, fuck art, you know, like your body, your life. That's right. Important. But it's OK.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
So by Lou wanting to quit, because that's like a theme in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Did that affect you, like being more grossed out by smoking?
Me and Rose couldn't stop to put these.
Smoking positive podcast, by the way.
I smoke a lot of weed and I'm super positive about that. And this podcast is actually smoking negative. The whole movie is about somebody who should quit smoking okay. And isn't able to do it. Rose and I, we were both quitting smoking on the movie. And so as soon as all of those scenes were like actually finished, because it's only the beginning that she's smoking and she's like, I'm done now. She puts them in the trash and they're down.
With the egg yolks.
With the egg yolks.
Was the mullet just for the movie? Because I feel like we've seen you in a mullet before.
Well, I played Joan Jett once.
Right.
Yeah. And it's really hard to grow them out and you get kind of addicted to the scissors. Like, so the first one lasted for a while and then this one lasted longer than it really needed to also because I just couldn't stop cutting it. I've stopped.
By yourself? Down.
Yeah. Oh, I told you, not basic.
I know. See? So you like a mullet?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Recently.
You do pull it off.
Dude, this guy was like, wow. And I've talked to him for years, my whole life, my whole career. He goes, I've just never seen you looking so awful. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm sure it was a choice. But how was it to have that horrible, horrible haircut? And I was like, I liked it. I was like, bro.
You liked it.
Yeah. Well, he's a normie freak. So whatever.
Normie freak.
I am so excited that Clarins is sponsoring my show because I'm obsessed with Clarins. Like, thank you. Thank you for noticing me that I've been, you know, talking about your double serum, using it pumps after pumps, that I've been just loving your lip oils and saying that it's the best lip oil, better than its competitors. So I'm a Clarins girl. Okay. And that's why I wanted to tell you guys about a new Clarins product. Okay. So they have this amazing product. It's called the Multi-Active Cream. And it's actually been proven to target visible signs of aging. And it smooths lines and wrinkles. It refines pores. It evens tone and texture. And it strengthens the skin's moisture barrier. So Multi-Active Cream, that's why it's called multi. It's doing all this stuff. Okay. Smoothing, refining, evening, strengthening, moisturizing. So if you're looking for a cream that does it all and you're like a low maintenance bee who wants like one cream and doesn't want to deal with like 1,000 skincare, try Clarins Multi-Active Cream. I highly recommend it. And if you want to get a discount, you can go to clarins.com/notskinny and you can get the Multi-Active Day and Night Cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's Clarins. You know how to spell it. clarins.com/notskinny and then use the promo code not skinny. So you're going to clarins.com/notskinny and you're entering promo code not skinny. I tell you this all the time, but sleep is the most important thing. Now, you know, being pregnant, everyone's like, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just tired. And I know that sounds like so annoying, but it's true. Like, sleep is so important. And when you're not getting enough of it, and now I can't really help it because like being pregnant is just uncomfortable inevitably, but you can help it. You can buy a good mattress. You can invest in yourself and in your sleep, and you could do it with Mattress Firm. And especially because Mattress Firm not only has mattresses of all brands, I was going to say shape sizes, I mean, it's shapes and sizes too, but also all brands, price points, they price match. So if you find a better price somewhere else, they will match it. And Mattress Firm sleep experts are here to help you score the sleep that you need. They can help you with tips, tricks, and do it yourselves. Be on the lookout for exclusive deals as well. They're going to share some virtual tips, but you could keep the slumber party going by visiting their Instagram or TikTok. Mattress Firm sleep experts have over 200 hours of training to help you find the perfect mattress. Go to the sleep experts at Mattress Firm. They'll help you find the right bed with their wide selection of quality mattresses at every price. RSVP yes to better rest this sleep week with Mattress Firm. Shop in store or online at mattressfirm.com.
This movie got 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. By the way, I know I'm a movie score looker. I could appreciate like a 47 too. I'm not saying I'm like.
Me too.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite movies are like below 50 by far.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm even like 99 might be too much for me, you know? But 90 on Rotten Tomatoes, that's huge. Congratulations. Like the movie is doing really well. Reviews are kicking ass.
Thank you. I am so excited about that, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just showing that to Rose and being like, look what you did. Do you see that number?
Yeah.
Like that really is, I mean, she's
so Rose.
Proud.
You love Rose. You love the director.
I do. Very, very much, yeah.
Did you know her before? Or did you meet her for this?
I met her for this.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I saw her movie at a film festival during COVID and she did a Q&A after and I was like, that person is incredible. And then she straight up called me for this movie like very soon after that. And I was like, this is a simulation, my life, the world. I'm making it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like too kismet.
That's so cool. And you filmed in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Was it super hot?
Yeah.
Like hot and hot?
Super hot. Yeah. Yeah, it was really hot. It was very, very warm outside.
Yeah.
How long did
it take
bitch.
To film?
Kind of normal. Like, we probably shot for 30 days. We were there for like 3 months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Rehearsal, cutting my hair, getting used to everything.
It was like super grungy vibes.
Yeah, it was very, very like gym rat, like
smelly,
yeah, scuzzy,
yeah,
underbelly.
I saw you said in an interview, like I mentioned, there are some hot sex scenes in the movie, and I saw you mention somewhere that a lot of times sex isn't like really portrayed right on film, like queer or not, right?
Mm.
But how did you, what did you mean that this was like, what did you do differently to make sure that it was?
Mm. Their sort of sexual like dynamic is so informed by the stories they tell themselves and kind of co-signing each other's like positions, so to speak. Like, you know, Lou's weak and tiny, but wants to be on top and it works. Not because she's stronger than her, but because she's just hard headed. And it's like, that's what it's like interesting to do a sex scene so precisely and allowing the director to really like block everything out and having an experience that feels like an exchange versus like something from the outside. Like it just felt like you could kind of imagine what it felt like versus
mm-hmm.
being so overwhelmed by watching two other people like have an explicit moment that you're usually not allowed to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you're like, oh, I got that feeling. And it's for us, like it's not an explicit scene. There's some dirty talk that kind of underlines what we're doing, but you don't see anything. And it's like,
right.
It just is punctuated with like very considered touch and response. And that doesn't normally happen because if you don't talk about something before and you're just like going for it, it's like no one can feel anything. You're mm-hmm. not like, I don't move when you move. I don't, because we didn't consider it and we're not actually doing it.
Right.
So it's like, unless you're actually doing it, you're just, it looks fake. And so if you don't, yeah, that's why the whole like sort of development of having intimacy coordinators and also just female directors that are comfortable verbalizing those things and talking about them and leading the charge. It's like, and I'm not saying only girls can do that. Boys can make good sex scenes. It's nice for that communication to be like, not taboo and not uncomfortable and not weird. And because then it can actually be very sexy. It's like when you get older and mature and you start talking about what you want with your partner versus being like, maybe I'll get lucky. It's fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, do you remember the movie Blue is the Warmest Color?
I do. I do remember that.
So I remember, like, there was a lot of criticism about, is that what lesbian sex is like? Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like a, because I saw this interview from you, you know, saying that reminded me of that.
Of that. I know there was like a, it was scandalized.
It was.
Yeah. I think because that process was really intense and that director has a particular process and he's a guy and
And it's different.
I mean, I watched that. I fucking love that movie. I love those performers so much.
Yeah. They're both amazing.
I have
She's in the Dune now.
She's in the Dune. She's in Dune 2. She's in both of the Dunes?
No, I think
the first
Dune 2.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, the second one.
Yeah. She's in Dune 2.
Yeah. Everyone that's in Dune 2, this is like, I mean, the yearbook of Dune 2. Looking at that and being like, fuck.
Crazy. I know. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. So I love this movie. Love Lies Bleeding, you guys. You have to watch it in the theater. Is it going to stream, Eva?
Likely, yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely. Yeah. I think we are going for like, it is like a theatrical release situation. Limited right now. Getting bigger, I think, at some point. And then if you don't catch it, like a basic bitch, then at some point you'll be able to stream it.
But it's such a good movie. It really, like, the movie is a little bit under 2 hours and I didn't look at my phone once.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it was so good. It was so captivating. There is love in it. There's also, I feel like you can get like a dude to watch it too, you know, because you're like, there's crime.
Yeah, there's like guns and like running around and stuff. Yeah,
but it's also like a love story.
Ed Harris plays somebody that is like definitely in a different movie than me and Jackie or whatever. So it's weird. It's like a very odd combo of a lot of different flavors. It's like if you were to go to Baskin Robbins and get like Rainbow Sherbert and Rocky Road.
That's why I don't want to give away too much, because we were saying before, like, Love Lies Bleeding, how would you describe it in 3 words? And then I know we talked a little bit about the movie and different parts of it, but like to describe it with all the moving parts that you just mentioned, Ed Harris's character and you, and then it's like almost giving it all away.
Yeah, just go see it. That's what we're doing here. We're promoting the movie.
We're promoting the movie. So just, we were talking about you are into like good reviews, high ratings. Does that, when you're choosing a movie, are you thinking about what could possibly like win an award or... You know, you've been nominated for like Golden Globes, like you've got the César Award, like you got the Best Kiss 4 years in a row. And I mean, 4 years in a row, MTV, Best Kiss, Best Kisser.
I'm glad that we won those. Movie won those.
No, I just like to see like a real, like I want to believe it, you know, so I want to see like passion. It doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be like messy.
Exactly.
You know, like I'm trying to think if you and Jackie in the movie had... I didn't think about that because it was just like a good kiss.
I like licked her armpit at one point.
You licked her toe.
Yeah. We went in. We went
all
the way.
You really did go in.
Yeah.
But that's what, when you're saying before, you weren't really doing that. You,
you
did
licked
lick
her toe.
You did. Is Kristen Stewart imitating me today?
I can't help it. It's really,
really
good.
What?
Yeah. If we were homies and we hung out, you would be like,
all the
shut
time
up.
You would do it.
Mm-hmm. But
are
I
you judging
like
me
it.
For it?
No. Oh, I'm okay. Like, I'm really.
You're into it.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we're into ratings, we're into reviews. We just talked about the Oscars night.
Do I do movies for awards? No, I just want to make them cool. Yeah, no.
No.
Oscars were incredible last night, like very well produced. Best they've been in years, I feel. Like I was on, didn't you think it was just like a
I'm
good
trying to
show?
Think, it's been such a long award season, I feel like. Mm. So many red carp, like so much has been happening. Mm. Maybe because COVID happened, so they were like,
that's it.
Boring. It wasn't happening.
Really do it. Yeah.
But when you look, like, was it more fun for you to watch the Oscars? You were telling me you were watching it at home. You had a really nice setup. Do you want to be there? Is it not as fun to be there as we think that it is?
I've only been once and it was like a fever dream. I don't really remember. And I imagine that when I'm looking at, wait, have I been twice? Oh, well, I mean, the time that I went, it was like a, like, and I was there for like a reason.
Yeah.
The other time I don't. Yeah. Well, either way, whatever. Apparently I've been there twice. it just goes away. Like the memory of that, I can't even relate to, but I can relate more to watching because last night I was like very present and like emotional and I like was laughing and crying the whole time.
What was your favorite? Like what movie were you excited about to win or actor?
Watching Emma win, we were all blubbering and
obsessed,
proud. And like, we don't even really know each other, but I feel like I know her. And I was just like,
that's weird. Me too.
I mean, just to fill that space, even though, I mean, it's like happened twice for her and this still felt like such a seminal moment in her life. Like, it's like being able to speak to that in a present way is so hard. I wonder if she even remembers that moment. I can tell as like, I would never have had the words. Like, it was just very cute to watch that. Also, I mean, let's be real. Like, I was, for some reason, crying and laughing while watching the Ken thing. Like,
no, you were crying?
Yeah, it's like emotional, dude, watching Greta watch it.
Oh, Greta watch it. Yeah. Okay, you were watching through Greta's eyes.
When they did the one cutaway of her and she was just like front row belting and just like looking at like the thing that she like helped kickstart. Yeah. I was like, this is too much.
So you're a fan of Barbie?
I'm a super, super duper fan of Barbie, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
See, that's a little bit surprising.
See, these...
What?
These
okay.
projections that people
I know
have.
I'm projecting, but I'm projecting. It's not people. It's just
but
me.
But do you like?
I know.
Wow.
Oh, no.
You don't like it?
I don't really know.
Is that because
I
love
Greta and I loved Lovebird and I loved she had the movie with the best friends. Lady Bird.
You love Greta? For sure.
I do love Greta. Okay. She had that other movie with the two best friends. Did you watch it? No, because I'm
what,
a big.
What, Frances Ha?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's my favorite. I'm obsessed
okay,
with her.
Okay. Like, so fine. She's your more favorite. but yeah, maybe I was, you know what? I watched it after the craze. So I think I was also like, it might have been like the press tour and the pink that kind of ruined it for me. And if I just watched the movie,
right,
I would be more. But you know what I heard? Because I watched Poor Things recently.
It's incredible. Incredible. I can't believe that movie. Yeah.
Right. And then somebody said that they're both like feminists in this kind of the same way, but obviously in different ways. So I relate more to the feminist Poor Things.
I think something is happening. There's this like collective consciousness that is waking up to their own and engaging with their own inner rage and painting it pink and putting puffy sleeves on it makes it like us and not just sort of purely negative because like owning your body and your experience and like, yeah, your will, that has like truly not been ours for very long. And so now that girls are starting to make movies, they're kind of all the same. And I know that like, you know, Yorgo made Poor Things. It's right. Not like that's a purely, but that's Emma's movie. Like Emma is filling that space for us.
Yeah.
And like, I think the overlap is really fascinating and fun. Like reality is breaking. So there's like, very metatextual movies happening and in development right now. And like, there are a lot coming together and I've noticed it. And then also for the feminist sort of take on things, it's being brought away from turmoil and into like kind of extreme consideration and exuberance and like, you know, like movies that aren't so literal, movies that like push the boundaries. So I think they're very similar, but like also couldn't be more different. They're like totally from different sides of the room, but it's we all want something, craving a little fucking freedom
yeah.
And like honesty. And I think both of those movies do the shit out of that.
Amazing. I agree with the support.
It's like Barbie's like the Matrix.
Barbie's like the Matrix.
Yeah. It's so I was laughing and crying the whole time. Even like I watched that movie and I think my mouth was just open and in a huge grin and then sometimes streaming. But then just wiping, still
smiling.
Did you
play with Barbies when you were little?
No.
See,
no.
Me neither.
I had the weird Barbie. I chopped the hair.
You had the weird Barbie?
Yeah, I created Kate McKinnon.
Is it true that you suffer from a fear of horses?
I do actually suffer from it, yeah.
Did you, so it's not resolved?
No, I can't watch movies with horses.
Oh, even watch movies with horses?
No, those spindly.
So you're not watching Yellowstone?
No, actually, I'm not. But those, yeah, like, I loved Outer Range, though, and there are some horsies in there, not too many. But, yeah, the spindly-legged, top-heavy, precarious, like, kind of flighty, enormous animal.
Scares you.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. And then people are riding them around on, like, wet ground, and their hooves are hard and clapping around. I just am like, this is a recipe for absolute disaster. And I have been witness to a couple of horse like disasters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it comes from somewhere and I'm just like, no more for me. I want to like rescue the horsies, feed them apples.
Oh, so you're not scared to be around them?
They make me a little nervous, but okay. I'd be down for that. I'm just not going to ride them.
You're not
and I'm not going to watch any movies where they're like falling down.
Yeah.
I can't believe we've done that so much.
I know. It makes you feel better. It makes me feel like when I see a horsey hurt, like I feel worse than when I see like a human, you know? But what about your mental health? Have you been open about that? Like, are you, aside from the fear of horses, like obviously like, I feel like as an anxious person, I can kind of tell like when somebody else has some anxiety. Mm. But does that manifest for you at all? Do you have that?
Yeah, I run really hot. Like I have, when I was younger, I had a lot of anxiety. But I don't manifest it physically as much as I used to. So it doesn't feel like I, of course, manage it and deal with like nerves and kind of getting kind of all a flutter before podcasts.
You got the flutter out?
Yeah. You know, I felt a little fluttery walking in here, but it's okay. Yeah, like I think what I was saying to you before about just having been like famous for so long, I feel like I can't make any more mistakes. Like the worst thing could happen. I could fall on my face and like all my clothes could rip off my body and like I could be in the middle of like the Super Bowl accidentally and be like streaking and embarrassing and just crying in public. And I'd be like, well, that's not that bad. I'm home now. And it's wow. Nothing's actually going to happen. Like the internet can't actually like touch you.
Yeah.
And so with anxiety and stuff like that, my edge is a lot, something actually like foundationally bad would have to happen for me. I don't just for no reason spin out.
Oh, wow. That's
you know what
good.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
I got used to my body.
That's
like
amazing.
Being a physical self used to be very overwhelming and then putting it in environments that had such chaos, you know, surrounding.
Right.
That I was like tripping and now I'm not because I've just been through the gauntlet.
And also you're turning 34 soon, right?
Yes.
April?
Yes.
So how does it feel? Like, do you feel like, I mean, from what you're saying, it feels like you feel good being older. Like you feel like you're in your skin more. You
so much
it.
Better.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so much better. People in their 20s who are like really good at being in their, like people that are good at like talking and walking and like doing things. I'm always like, look at you, man. You're killing it.
Cool. Stay there.
Wow.
It's fun.
Yeah. I'm like, how are you in your mid 20s and like not being such an idiot? Like,
yeah.
I also look back at myself like in just pictures and I'm just like, oh gosh, every day better.
Every day better.
Yeah.
That's
definitely.
Such a good feeling probably, and also like message. See, guys, getting older is better.
I love it.
So good. Yeah. So you are engaged. Is there wedding planning in the horizon?
Yeah, we're both like really casual people. And so we did this sweeping traditional thing where we were like, marry me. You marry me.
Wait, did
and then we just never like planned a wedding because we were like, we kind of did it. But well, we'll do it. I think we have a very loose plan, which is appropriate to us. For after I make my first movie.
Like you mean when you write?
I'm directing a movie soon. And so I have to do that before we can get married because we have to send invites out and give people time to like get ready for that.
Look at you all planny.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't done any of this. This is
no,
I'm just,
but the movie,
this is all
wait,
hot
you,
air.
You wrote the movie?
Well, yeah, I adapted a memoir.
Are you talking about it yet? No.
It's called The Chronology of Water. I've talked about it for like 6 years and it's finally
a
thing. Yeah. It's really hard to make indie movies, as Dakota Johnson has pointed out, it's like near impossible.
Are you going to be in it?
No.
You're just directing it?
Yeah.
And then you're going to do a wedding. Wait, about the proposal for a second. So you decided to do it together or was somebody surprising somebody?
Oh, I told her like I wanted to have somebody ask me to marry them and then she did it.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Do you have a ring?
Yeah.
That's so pretty.
It's cool.
Yeah. Looks vintagey.
It is, yeah. This is embarrassing. Yeah. It's like, it's based on an old sketch, but it actually is new.
Did you get her a ring?
We have the same one with a different stone in it.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. Okay, so gonna get married after the movie, probably. And I saw you wanted kids. You like talked about that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah?
This is the thing. You ask these questions. I'm
right.
Like, not, no. Not, I don't. I mean, I'm, yeah. Definitely. I mean, we've done We've done like a lot of like really
Marvel
annoying
and kids, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. We've done really annoying things like freeze our eggs and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So like if we want to, we can. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like keeping that open.
Just
and also,
you know, people are doing that on Instagram now.
What do you mean?
You
can freeze your eggs on Instagram? This is an incredible platform.
No, it's kind of awful because it's such a positive thing. Yet I've seen so many influencers chronicle every second of the process that I'm kind, you know what I mean? But okay, I wanted to do a really quick thing with you because I've decided that you're not basic at all. I want to do some quick like pop culture stuff to see if you know. Okay.
Okay.
A really quick thing. Okay. Who's Barry Kehoe dating?
A singer that he's really proud of? Like a really cute blonde singer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sabrina Carpenter. Yeah.
Yes.
Who announced their pregnancy on Oscar's red carpet last night?
I don't know.
Vanessa Hudgens.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Congrats, Vanessa.
Hell yeah.
What reality show just aired its finale on Netflix that everyone in the world is talking about?
I don't know.
Love is Blind.
Oh, well, I'm obsessed with that show. So I have seen
you
that.
You are?
Fact, yeah. When we were like, let's name a few, I should have... My mind went blank when you asked
me. Oh, but you watch it.
Yeah.
You've dabbled.
No, I've seen all of them. I've seen every single moment. I've seen all of them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like waiting for a reunion? Like wanting to know what's up with the couples?
Yeah, of course. I've seen all the reunions. Like the next one's coming. I have a...
Who's your favorite couple? I don't
know
if I believe
me.
You. Who's your favorite couple on Love is Blind right now?
Like the new one?
Yeah.
The first ones. I don't know them by name. Okay. I always like the ones that get engaged quickly because you're
really?
Thank you, Jesus. You
I know,
just
but
liked
they're usually the most boring ones.
I know, but I like the boring ones. The other ones are like scary.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, which famous NFL player just retired?
Travis Kelce's brother, who's the cutest. Oh my god,
so cute.
Yeah, but there
Jason
you go,
Jason Kelce. Yep. Okay, this is a really niche and our last one. Which actor loves a purse? This is multiple choice. So it'll be easier for you.
Elordi.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kristen.
I'm a fan.
Jacob Elordi loves a purse.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm impressed.
In fact, do you see this? I brought this in. I was like, people are going to think that I am like him.
That you're Jacob Elordi?
There's like, yeah, because it's like one without a strap and like it just looks like kind of a little boy bag. And I was like,
he influenced me. He walks around with, what's that called? It's like a Bottega something. I looked it up. Andimato. I don't know. His bag game is strong. Kristen, a dream come true for me that you were on the show.
Oh, whoa, me too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey. Thank you, dude.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Not Skinny But Not Fat. Follow me on Instagram at Not Skinny But Not Fat. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Rate the podcast that you love so much on Apple Podcasts and write a little review. If you tell me you did, I'll give you a big virtual smoocheroo. Thank you guys so much for listening and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.